Wow. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. I have to give thanks to Steve Weisbecker this morning, because as I walked in and he greeted me, he said, "So, brother, are you ready?" I said, "Ready for what?" "Speaking today." I'm like, I'm what? "Speaking today." So after the panic ensued, you know, sometimes I'm just more brain dead than others. I don't know. I don't know if I mixed my calendar up or whatever, but yeah, so in a panic, I ran to the back and jotted down some thoughts to share with you this morning about Father's Day. See, all you are sitting there, all you men are going, "I'm just so glad it's not me." Right? So, well, there you go. Now, I know we actually heard from this from Alan a couple weeks ago, but I just love this story, and I want to go to it again. Luke chapter 15, being that it is Father's Day, I think this is a great example that all of us can look at again and really concentrate on the Father. And, you know, we're all very familiar with this story, but let's go ahead and read a few verses here. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood." Now, what would we do if one of our sons came to us and asked this question? What would you do? It's a good question. I would think that I wouldn't do what this father did. Would you? What would the world suggest? Absolutely not. Do this particular thing. Give him what he's asking for. Obviously, he's young. He doesn't know what to do and blah, blah, blah. But what do we see this father do? He was asked, and so he divided his livelihood. It doesn't seem like he gave this matter a lot of thought. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. We're not really given a time frame here. But it just made me think, what would I do as a father? Would I give this responsibility to a son? I don't have the answer. I'm just posing the question for you to think about. But it seems like this father, obviously, he did what his son asked. In verse 13, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living." So the son leaves. Now what? I don't know if this was on the agenda for the son, or the son even mentioned this, but now he's got all his father's goods that he has worked for his whole life, or half of it, and now he's leaving. Now what do you do? As a father, I don't know what the conversation was. We're not told. I don't know if there was any anger involved or hurt feelings, but we just know that the son up and left. So now, what do you do as a father? Do we disown our son? I know some fathers who have had issues with their children, and they have very much disowned their children. And I'm thinking, how tragic is that? To end that relationship. And I can guess, well, no, I'm not going to say specifics, but I know of a certain situation that has been years, 10s, 15, 20, 25 years, where a father has not spoken to his son, nor a son his father, nor has he seen his grandchildren. Ever. That's a hard place to return from. So we just need to be careful as fathers not to ever cut a relationship off, no matter how bad it may seem. Do we criticize this son for leaving? Do we come up with all the wrong thinking about this son, why he left? Or do we pray for this son? And it seems like it's the latter for this father, that he must have spent much time in prayer for his son. Let's go on and go to verse 20. Verse 20 says, we know that the son, he repented. And verse 20 says, and he rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. His father saw him from a great way off. The father was always looking for this son. Even though the son left, again, we don't know the circumstances in which he left. If there was unkind words or whatever, we don't know. But we know that the father must have always been looking for his son. He was always on his mind because he loved his son. The father had compassion on him and he didn't have anger. And the father ran to him. He did not make his son grovel at his feet. We wouldn't do anything like that. We wouldn't make our children grovel at our feet. And would we? No. I hope not. But he ran to him. And again, I pose the question, what would you do? How would you handle that? If you saw your son coming, who you knew had done some very wrong things, wrong decisions, would you make him grovel? Because you suggested this and he did the opposite. Or would you run to him and have compassion on him? It's a good question. The father fell on his neck and kissed him. And isn't this what our Heavenly Father does to us? We've done it wrong. We've done it poorly. We've done it badly. And yet the Father shows compassion and love and affection and kisses his son. All we need to do is turn and God is there for us. Our children, as Father, need to know that. When they make bad decisions, they need to know that all they have to do is turn, make the right decision, and we're there. Amen. Verse 22 says, but the father said to his son, now we know the son had this great speech prepared that he was going to make to his father. But verse 22 says, but the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. The father didn't need flowery prepared speeches, just like our Heavenly Father. You know, when we're in trouble, we don't have flowery speeches for God. We have, Lord, help me. Amen? I mean, I don't know if you're anything like me, but I'm right there. Lord, I just need your help. And this father didn't need any flowery speeches either. He knew that his son had repented, and that was all that he needed from his son. Verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. A lost son needs to know that he will always be his father's son. And I love the quote, for this is my son. How good do you think that felt in the ears of his son? I mean, he was ready to, of course, make himself a servant. But the father said, you are my son. Wow. How wonderful is that? And that our Heavenly Father, of course, we are his children. We'll always be his children. No matter what bad decision we make, we are always his children. And they began to be merry. It's as if the past was completely forgotten. When we as fathers forgive, it should be complete, just like this father forgave his son. I mean, they began to be merry. The past is the past. We can't bring it up again. It's gone. Just like our Heavenly Father has forgiven us our past. Isn't that awesome that it's not going to be brought up again? That we're going to be merry? That we're going to sup with our Father? It's awesome. Verse 28. Now we get to the elder son. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. His father came out. Do we see a pattern here? The father came out to the older son. The father ran to the younger son. There's a pattern here. The father is the one doing what needs to be done. He's not waiting for his children to come to him. He goes to them. Didn't our Heavenly Father do that for us? He sent us his son for us, to us. So he pleaded with this older son. Verse 31, and he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." And again, here we are. He says, son. Even here, the father reassures his eldest that even though he is angry, he is still his son. Well, this father is quite exceptional. I can't tell you honestly that I would do all the things that this man did. I aspire to. I want to. But I can't sit here and promise you that I would. But I know this. I know that my Heavenly Father acts just like this. And that's wonderful. Wonderful. Verse 32. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. A good father puts all things into perspective. He has a broad view of things, not just the narrow present view. Again, a good word and encouragement for us as fathers that we see the whole picture, that we don't react just at, you know, what we see, the surface level, that we see the whole thing. And this father had the tendency to do that. So may we, as this father, strive to be like this father who was willing to give all that he had. And even when he was disappointed and heartbroken, he never stopped loving his children and wanting their best. May we as fathers take these things to heart and really look at this story, because it's precious. Because we're not perfect, and neither are our children. But we need to love them in spite of them, encourage them, strengthen them. And when they fail, to be there for them. Amen? That's what I have for this Father's Day. Let's pray. Father, how wonderful is this story that the Lord Jesus gave us. The picture of this Father always being there, always willing to give all that he had to his children. And Father, as the children disappointed, we disappoint you. But yet your love has never changed, never failed, never has turned away, never has gotten cold, but is always there, always present, always perfect and wonderful. Father, help us as fathers to be like you. To be perfect, even though it's hard to say that. But we want to be like you. We want to love unconditionally all the time. Grant us the wisdom to be able to do these things, make these decisions. Father, we're always before you, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.